You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word, and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. I invite you to check us out at soh.church. Watch our live streams. Download our mobile app. We've got a great app that's got a digital Bible on there, got an online community that you can be a part of. If you're listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe, turn on your notifications, leave a 5-star review. I know I'm asking a lot, but the bottom line is this. The more people that we get studying the Word of God, or we draw to studying the Word of God, and the more people are going to be free, right? Truth sets you free. And I'm so glad that you're with me. I was just saying a few minutes ago that we are in Matthew chapter 26, and really we've got Matthew 26, 27, and 28. So we're right there. We are right at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and it's been a great, great journey. I hope you've been blessed by it. We've had some awesome guests in between as well as we go, and we move on from here to the book of Acts. So what we might do is take a couple of days. I know we're going to, I said, you know, during this season, let's go 7 days a week. But if we're going to transition books like that, I do want to take a few days and meditate on the structure of the teaching. I mean, we won't stray too far from what we do today. But, you know, Acts is really, really powerful. And I just want to seek God on what he wants for us as we go through that. That's a fairly extensive study as well. Many chapters, many awesome twists and turns. And the beauty of the book of Acts is that it shows you how the early church grew, how they, I won't say bounced back, so to speak, but how they really grasped onto victory after the death and resurrection of Jesus, when they no longer could rely on him physically being there, but they are able to really harness the Holy Spirit that's inside of them and continue Jesus' work. And we watch what Jesus did multiply. And so let's get into Matthew 26 today. Just went through 24 and 25, and we know that as the Olivet Discourse, Jesus really laying out what is about to happen, right, with the transition of the covenants, with the end of the age, with the coming judgment that would happen in that generation. And really what we see in our last study when Jesus's parable, so to speak, of the sheep and the goats is a real separation of two types of people, those that would reject and those who would be his followers, his sheep, and the promise of eternal life and glory, right? It says, when you see the Son of Man coming in his glory. And we know that the victory that Jesus speaks of is complete. It is finished, right? But when we start Matthew 26, which really sets the stage for Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, we see that Jesus kind of brings them down to earth for a second and brings them back to the sobering truth of what needs to happen. And what I really want to take out of today's study is that victory starts with sacrifice. And that's not something that you and I are willing to embrace so easily, right? We want the victory. We want the glory. But what it takes to get there often is what holds us back from taking the steps forward, right? So often we hold on. We want God to do a new thing in our life, but we're so, we hold on so tightly to the old stuff that we don't make way for the new stuff, right? The new things that God wants to do, and all things are new with God. God is constantly wanting to do new things in your life to bring you what? From glory to glory. So that is where I want to start, and what I want to leave with today is that victory starts with sacrifice. So let's go to Matthew chapter 26. We're going to be just in five verses today, Matthew 26, 1 through 5. And we're going to really tee up over the next couple of days as we're going to see the buildup, the arrest, the crucifixion, and ultimately, of course, the resurrection, right? So let's just go ahead and read. I'm going to read all the way through, and then we're going to chat for a few minutes. It says, when Jesus finished saying all of these things, all of what things, right? The Olivet Discourse. So he finishes his discourse on the Mount of Olives and goes through all that. And you have to imagine that the disciples must be like, all right, it's not going to be an easy road, but there's victory at the end. And you know, we can only speculate, but perhaps they put out of their mind what was going to happen initially, right? First things first. And Jesus brings them right to this point. Let's go. Verse 2, Jesus says, as you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. So Jesus says, all right, I've told you the victory. I've warned the crowds. Again, we see this, what has happened really since he's gotten to Jerusalem. And it seems like a long time ago, but it's really only a few chapters ago because we've been going through this methodically. We've taken our time. But Jesus goes in to Jerusalem with victory. He begins to really ruffle the feathers of the religious leaders, flipping tables and then performing miracles. And then he warns the crowds, right? We went through the whole woe to the Pharisees. He starts warning the crowds about the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. Then he turns to his disciples and he begins to prepare his disciples. Well, now it's time. Now it's time to redeem everything with his blood. And the disciples are now probably coming to grips with this. And maybe they don't understand this. We kind of even see going into the Last Supper, which we'll do here shortly, that they're not quite getting it. And I think sometimes we are shielded from the understanding of the complete sacrifice. And that's why I always say we just have to be willing to sacrifice. You know, sometimes we don't need to have all the answers, but Jesus is not holding back. He's telling them, I'm about to be crucified. And we see what's happening behind the scenes here. It says, then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or there may be riot among the people. So here we see also the chief priest always so concerned with the crowd, and they rightfully so. During the Passover feast, there was five times the amount of people in Jerusalem, which put everything, you know, in a festive mode, I'm sure, as everybody came in for the Passover. But it was also a time of tension. I mean, even probably for the Romans, probably made them pretty uncomfortable that there was all these people, especially, you know, in this time. There started to be some political discourse for sure. Okay. Jesus on the cross, when he had the two thieves, we called them the two thieves, but chances are they were resurrectionists, right? Not resurrectionists. What's the word I'm looking for? Don't mind me. But they were rebels, right? Because this started to really happen. Rome was actually constantly trying to interfere in what was going on in the Jewish lives. As a matter of fact, we see Caiaphas here. Caiaphas, one of the chief priests, historical record shows that Caiaphas was actually placed into the spot of high priest by the Romans. And this was completely unorthodox and against Jewish tradition. Until about 15 AD, a man named Annas was the chief priest. And then Rome, Valerius came in and intervened and placed Caiaphas in there. And actually, we see Annas and Caiaphas together, and everything that I can read said that they were related. But for whatever reason, political reasons, Rome got in there, because what they were always trying to do was circumvent the process and weaken the Jewish people of that time, which led to a lot of the hatred and the bitterness that ultimately led to the insurrection. That's the word I was looking before, the insurrection, and ultimately led to, you know, what happened at the fall of the temple in 70 AD when they came in and they took everything out. So we see Annas and Caiaphas, and I just try to give you the historical background there a little bit, because it's good to understand that these are real people and these things really happened. You can read in the historical records, particularly of Josephus, about all of this that was going on. And what was also, you know, strange and bizarre is that again, this was not necessarily illegal according to Jewish custom, but it was certainly, outside of tradition. Maybe that's what we'll do over the next couple of days too, if I feel led to do it, is go into how illegal the arrest of Jesus was. The Jewish leaders, they're getting together in private, and we see them plotting against him, right? This is actually foretold in Psalm 31 that said that, you know, many plot against me. If you go and read Psalm 31, I don't have it in front of me right now, but this is, you know, that they will assemble and that they will plot against me. They're doing this. And we'll see, you know, obviously we know the end of the story. Judas takes the bait and sells Jesus out. But, you know, all of this stuff is going on. And I just want to bring it back to, you know, our original point, that true victory isn't won in the absence of suffering. It emerges from it. And it's really powerful when we think that the Lord Jesus, that what he endured to lead to that victory, and how he prepared his disciples to do the same. Because we went through it just a couple teachings ago. What happened to all the disciples? They were all killed and they were all martyred. For the most part, the overwhelming majority of them. Great victory never comes without sacrifice. But you and I, we have to be willing to sacrifice. It's necessary. So as we go through the next couple days, and we see how this all unfolds. Tomorrow we'll talk about, you know, Jesus and the alabaster box and you know how powerful that was and the preparation that happened. But it all comes back to the cross. Without the cross, there is no victory in any capacity. Without Jesus' death and ultimately his resurrection, we focus a lot on the cross and the crucifixion. Of course, it was necessary, but also the resurrection, right? We hang our hat completely on the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. Without the resurrection, there is no defeat of death. So that's my prayer for you this morning as we get into the final stretch. My prayer for you is that you would seek God on what you are willing to sacrifice for the victory in your life. But understand that even a layer deeper than that the victory has already been had because of the cross. It all comes back to what Jesus did at Calvary. It all comes back to that. And there's nothing that you or I could ever go through that would ever negate the sacrifice. We'll do this as we get toward what would be Resurrection Sunday. I like doing a teaching on the seven things that Jesus said while he was on the cross. And I do that every year, and I'm going to do it again. But we have to realize how much he loves us and how much he was willing to endure. And that's why he said, those who want to follow me must also take up their cross. And us being willing to lay down our own lives. And how do we put this in the context of what? I mean, I'm not asking you to nail yourself to the cross or get nailed to the cross. But what is it about you that you are holding on to? Because imagine if Jesus looked at all this, looked at all the victory, but then looked at what he had to do. We know the what he went through at, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he sweat blood because of the anguish of what he would have to deal with, but he did it anyway. You know, a lot of times we look at it and we quit because we don't want to make the sacrifice, but it's worth it. And that's a piece that I have in my heart every day, knowing that, you know, I serve a Lord and Savior that believed that you and I were worth it, were worth the pain, was willing to pursue the true victory and not bypass the temporary suffering. God wants you to be free. God wants you to walk in victory. God wants you to be walking away from bitterness, walking away from your addictions, walking away from your depression. But you have to lay down your flesh as if taking up a cross and lay it down, sacrifice. I love what Jesus said to the disciples when he said, none of you have given up anything that won't be returned to you 100-fold. So that's my prayer for you today as we go into today, that you would meditate. What difficult thing are you putting off? Because we can talk all day and we can go on Sunday and talk about how you know, God's given us the victory and we say amens and all this, but what is it going to take? Now, keep in mind, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and overburdened. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He already did the difficult part. But you got to be willing to take those things and lay it down at the foot of the cross. To take up your own cross and say, you know what? I'm going to pursue victory no matter what. That's what the disciples did. That's why I'm excited about going through the book of Acts with you next. Not to, look, I don't want to skip what we're going to go through in these next couple chapters, okay? Obviously, his walk to the cross, what he did there, the resurrection, the Great Commission, all these things that we're going to study, super, super important. But it was all for naught. In I don't want to put it that way. Because God's victory will happen whether we participate in it or not. So I want to correct what I was about to say. I was about to say it's all for naught if the early church didn't take it and run with it. Okay? Because God's will gets done no matter what. But how God operates is through me and through you. How God operated in the remainder of that first century was through the disciples, through the lowly fishermen and tax collectors and harlots that followed him around, that got their lives changed from the inside out. There's no excuse. But they'd have to go through the sacrifice first, because victory starts with sacrifice. So that's my prayer for you this morning. What is it that you have to lay down at the foot of the cross? Is it your... What are you clinging on to that's holding you back from really taking the steps toward victory in your life? Is it a love of money? And when I say that, that doesn't mean you're, you know, rolling around in dollar bills. A lot of times, even when we don't have money, we love money, right? We what are you putting in front of God that you feel like is your provider? What unforgiveness are you holding on to? These things are barriers. And I believe that God will free you today. Just get in the mindset of whatever it takes, God. Whatever it takes. Just say that. If you mean it in your heart. I never want to force you to say anything you don't mean. But just understand that true victory doesn't come in the absence of suffering or the bypass of hardship. But all that stuff is temporary. The victory that God has for you is eternal. So just say that to him today. Say, God, whatever it takes, I want to follow you. Say, Jesus, thank you for sacrificing for me. Help me to sacrifice the life that I'm holding on to for the life that you would have for me. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church, Deer Park, New York. Check us out, soh.church. We're going to continue with Matthew chapter 26. And you're listening to the 1% Christian, 100 starts with 1. My challenge for you is that you pray to God about what tough thing you need to do to take the next step in your life toward victory. And he's going to reveal that to you. And I pray the courage and the boldness over you to take those steps in Jesus' mighty name. I love you guys. Have a great and awesome day.